getting things taken care of and taken down and packed away from the Christmas season, perhaps some of you have also had to take care of some gift returns this year. Some of those obnoxious or just totally bizarre or unusual gifts that just don't seem to quite fit your personality or what you would have chosen for yourself at all. In fact, this time of year promotes a lot of TV commercials that I find humorous about returning gifts. The Dell commercial, have y'all seen that one where he comes to the counter and says, I'm here, return my elf costume. So that's nice, but this is the gift return. And then you see all the people coming through the lines with these just ludicrous gifts. We could probably have a really good time today talking about the worst gift you ever received. Probably all of you can probably bring to mind pretty quickly some pretty tacky or unusual or bizarre or strange gifts. One of the strangest gifts I received was a Book of Mormon on my wedding day. For two people going into ministry in the United Methodist Church, it was a rather interesting gift. But believe me, it does not even begin to top the list, I am sure, of interesting gifts. Sometimes, the gifts seem to be given rather thoughtlessly, and you kind of look at them like, okay? Other times, you know a tremendous amount of thought went into choosing this particular gift. My dad was telling me that a woman that he works with as part of his foundation had told him how excited she was because she had been looking for this particular gift for him for 3 years. And she finally found it in a catalog, and she had ordered it, and it was coming. With great anticipation, you can imagine, something that you've been looking for 3 years that, you want to give to somebody. I mean, there is some excitement just in the thought that somebody would put that much thought into a gift. So it arrived, and she wrapped it, and she brought it, and she presented it to my father, and he opened it up. And it was a tissue box holder in the shape of an airplane. Now, my dad isn't particularly into airplanes. I mean, maybe if he collected airplanes or something. And, this may really surprise some of the women here, but men just really aren't into things that hold tissue boxes. I suppose, being that he's a counselor, maybe she thought this would be wonderful to have in his office, for all of the tears that were shed. But it hardly seemed to hold up to the thought and expectation that seemed to be there. Perhaps the funniest gift I have ever heard given to somebody as a present was my friend's, who he absolutely loves to play guitar and is a wonderful musician. His wife has absolutely no interest in music whatsoever. So when under the Christmas tree, very obviously wrapped, was a bass guitar, she was really hoping it wasn't for her. Guess whose name was on the tag? It just seemed like this has got to be the most inappropriate gift to give someone who has no interest in music. Obviously, she thought, he's giving it to me so he can get a new bass guitar. And I think sometimes we do have a tendency to give those things to people which would be most meaningful to us. Now, the husband's side of the story is, he wanted to share his love of music and thought maybe they could take lessons together and play together and all of these kinds of things. But if I remember right, the bass guitar did tend to end up being his, and I don't think she ever played it. This whole practice of gift giving, really today is the day that we have to thank for the fact that it's associated with Christmas. We trace our tradition of giving gifts on Christmas to the Magi and to the gifts that they gave. When it comes to gift giving, we often think of the Magi and those gifts that they gave. And there's lots of things that have been said over the years about the gifts that the Magi brought. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. We've thought many times, I'm sure you've heard sermons, and we just sang a song about the rich symbolic meaning of these gifts. Gold, frankincense and myrrh, gifts that should be given to a deity, to a king. A gift in myrrh is a gift that is used in anointing the dead. And you see the symbolism of Jesus' life as king and as God and as dying in the gifts they gave. Others have pointed to the fact that the Magi, the wise men, would have probably been astrologers. And our word magic and magician actually comes out of the word magi. And that they probably were pagans in the biggest sense of that word. Coming to worship the King of Kings, Christ. And in kneeling before him and giving them these gifts that would have likely been used in their practices of magic and alchemy, they were, in a sense, pouring out their love. The things most important to them. Giving them up to the King of Kings. There can be so many wonderful, mysterious, allegorical, beautiful things said about the gifts. But one of the things that has always struck me about the gifts, and I know that I'm not alone. Now put yourself in Mary's place with a newborn baby. What kind of things would you need somebody to give you? I imagine if Mary was going to list the most wild gifts she ever received in her life, it would have been when those strange men from far away came and gave her baby gold, which, you know, I mean, what's he going to do, chew on it? Frankincense. I mean, and myrrh? How hardly the gifts she would bring to a shower, even in Mary's era. Hardly the things that a poor family with a new baby that was soon going to have to run off to Egypt in order to get away from Herod, who was going to come after us. Hardly the things that they needed. What she probably needed most were some items of clothing for the baby. Perhaps a trip to Egypt, a ticket to Egypt would have been an incredibly useful and helpful gift. Whatever else we can say about these gifts, however they predict the future, however they respond to who Jesus will become, they don't really respond to the situation then and there very well. In practical, worldly terms. And, you know, even the gifts of frankincense and myrrh, which some have said would have been the kinds of incense and spices used at the burial of Jesus, we certainly don't think that they hung on to them until that time period. Actually, what most scholars speculate happened to the gifts is what happens to most of those gifts that we get that are completely impractical, not us and not the right thing for the moment. We return. Now, this was before gifts receipts, so she wouldn't have been able to take them back to the store, but we really do think that probably it's these very expensive gifts, once they were sold, is what probably paid for Mary and Joseph and the baby to escape Egypt. We don't know. It's speculation. But whatever we say about these gifts, I think that is something that really strikes me. And in a sense, something that really strikes me about all the giving that we do when it comes to God. What gifts do you bring to the King of Kings, to Jesus Christ, the very Son of God? What can we offer that would be better than gold or frankincense or myrrh? Would be more appropriate, more honorable, more wonderful, more holy. As I'm sure has happened in many churches and many places, a pastor remembers an event in a Sunday school class where, kind of interesting since our tithe envelopes have just been passed out, was saying, you know, last year I gave $458 to this church as my tithe. Now, I think this happened some time ago, so that probably was about 10% of the income. And Billy was saying it in a rather braggity way. And somebody in the back of the Sunday school class muttered, God gives his son to die on the cross for you, and you give $458. I mean, think about it. What can we give if we gave all that we had, all that we were? What would it amount to in light of who God is? $458. Peter. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. When it really comes right down to it, there's not a lot we have to give. There's really nothing that we can give. What gifts? Gifts that we have to God possibly. For all of you who are Star Trek fans, do you remember the old Star Trek movie where they're on the search for God? And they get there, and this alien creature that is pretending to be God wants the Enterprise. And I love the comment. What does God mean with my starship? What does God mean with the starship? But today, that question becomes even more. What would God need with gold or frankincense or myrrh? What would God need with $500? What would God need with anything I have to give? Martin Luther, a famous theologian, said when it comes to all the things that we do and give and work for God, I mean, they really amount to a pile of filthy rags. It's kind of like a sense of we give our most precious things and they can't even compare to who God is. As if a bag lady gave you the most precious thing she had, it would probably be covered in filth and slime and be absolutely repulsive to you. But if she gave it with all of her heart, if she gave it with passion and love, if she gave it because she wanted to give, would that not make the gift different? The good news today is this. We really, in comparison to what God has given us, we don't have anything to measure. Nothing. We don't have anything that it seems like God could even need or give. And yet the psalm says that even as human beings, God is mindful. In the act of the Magi bringing those gifts, notice that they were received. The good news is, no matter what we do, no matter how imperfect we see ourselves, no matter how imperfect we see the things that we do, no matter how much when we look at it, we don't measure up. When a gift is given from the heart, when it is given with love and passion, it will most definitely be received. Later on in Jesus' life, he receives another gift that seems most inappropriate. He's sitting in a dinner party. And a woman comes and she breaks precious nard, a very valuable, very expensive perfume, all over him, in a very public setting. Another version of scripture says she anointed his feet with this oil and then wiped them with her hair. Everybody who stood by was glorified and said, "You're not going to accept this from this woman. You're going to tell her what she's done. It's inappropriate, aren't you? I mean, this is a public setting and you have a woman touching you." And Jesus says, "No. Leave her alone. She has done the most beautiful. She has done what she had the power to. whatever we give, whatever in our power to do, whatever we have, be it money, be it talent, be it our imperfect selves, be it our imperfect voices lifted in song and praise. We need not fear. For if Jesus would accept the gold and the frankincense and myrrh, Jesus will certainly accept whatever we have to give. And what will Jesus give us in return? More than we can comprehend. More than we can understand. More than we deserve. He will give the gift. And that is what we celebrate as we go to communion.